So I'll have us open our Bibles up. If we would, let's go to Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Many of us probably have that verse memorized. It's a good verse. I like it. So we're looking at the spiritual requirements for Bible study, and last week we looked at being necessity is having a spiritual life. And we dealt mostly with evidence of salvation. You need to be saved. If you want to grow fruitfully in the Word of God, then you need to be saved. You need to be born again. And we went into detail why that's important. So, now if we want to study the Bible fruitfully, we must make certain that we're born again and that we are walking in close fellowship with the Lord. That's just an absolute necessity. It's not just that you're born again. That's obviously the first requirement. We 100% need to be born again in order to have any fruitful Bible study, but we also need to be walking with the Lord. And that's so important that we do that, that we're consistent in that, that it's a daily thing. It's a walk with God, and you spend that time regularly with Him. So as we do that, effective Bible study requires the right priority. We're here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So what are we to seek first? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. That's the first thing we're to seek, is the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, but first. As we look at it, it's associated with light. You read the corresponding parts going into that. That verse 22 of the same chapter, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness?" Talks about no man can serve two masters. So we need light. We need the Word of God. It's necessary for us to grow in our walk with the Lord as having that right priority, having the Word of God a priority in our life. It should come, really, as we study the Bible, it should be one of the first things that we do. Why? Because most of us, our brains are more alert, maybe not right when we wake up, but the first part of the day. I mean, I can just attest to this myself, that if I don't spend time in the Word of God at the beginning of the day, almost every time that I miss it at the beginning of the day, it doesn't happen the rest of the day. Can anybody else say that same thing? Yeah, I think that's how most of us are. If we don't do it first thing, it's not going to happen. Now, I know maybe everyone has different schedules, I get that, but I'm telling you, if you really want to be fruitful and effective in Bible study, make it a priority to do it first thing. If you have to wake up earlier to do that, do that. I mean, whatever it takes, but I would do that. I get it, everyone has different schedules. If your schedule is set up as such that you can do it towards the end of the day, then hey, go ahead and do that if it works for you. But if you say, well, that's what I'm going to do, and you've noticed after a week you're not doing it, you need to change something. If you're not going to do it, you need to pick a time when you will do it. And normally if we do it first thing, then we make certain it's going to get done. All right, just a question. I mean, maybe I might make someone a liar, but, I won't even ask the question. I'm just going to throw this out there, okay? We probably all brushed our teeth this morning, right? I don't want anyone to say, no, I didn't. Okay, but we probably all brushed our teeth this morning. Why? Because it's a habit. We do it first thing in the morning. Okay, so let's make Bible reading and Bible study and prayer a habit that we do first thing in the morning. Just like we brush our teeth. I can tell everyone got dressed this morning. Thank you. We appreciate that. Okay, everybody got dressed this morning. Why? It's a habit. We just do that. I mean, you might say, Pastor, that's ridiculous. Yeah, but I mean, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I mean, we're probably all going to eat today. Why? Because we need it to be strong and healthy. Well, we need this to be strong and healthy. It's important. All right. So it should really come first thing in the day. Yeah, that's just so important. We should also give it sufficient time. We have to get beyond, and I know I've challenged us to just at least 15 minutes in your Bible a day. Read the Bible at least for 15 minutes. If you read it for 15 minutes, you can likely read at least 3 chapters, probably 4. Everyone reads at a different level, but and if you do that every day, you'll read through the entire Bible in a year. Okay? I mean, that's just, I know some people, they might not do a chapter, but they'll give themselves a time limit. I'm going to read my Bible for 20 minutes, and however far along I get, that's where I'll stop at, in 20 minutes. That's a good, I mean, you'll get through the Bible in a year if you do that. If you're just consistent with it and you don't let your mind wander and you pay attention and read, you'll get through it in a year, probably more, a little bit more than once if you do that. But what we need to do is we need to give Bible study. We're talking about more than just Bible reading, the time we allot to the Bible, sufficient time. I would suggest to every one of us that we give at least 30 minutes a day to Bible study. Okay, we've got our Bible reading, we've got our prayer, and now we're adding onto that Bible study. There's a big difference between Bible reading and Bible study. Okay, Bible reading is just, I'm just going to go through and read it. I might not understand everything I read, but I'm just going to read it so I can get it going through me. And I can begin to familiarize myself with the Bible, and I can begin soaking it in, and God can teach us things even like that, but I'm just going to read through it. Bible study is completely different. Bible studies, many times what I read in my Bible, and maybe something jumped out at me, and we'll probably talk about this here in a bit, but as you read your Bible, just have a paper and pen handy so you can jot things down so you don't stop at every little thing and end up studying that out. But what you want to do is if something jumps out at you, you write it down. A note, I need to go back to, you know, verse. You just write maybe, verse 33 and this topic. That way you remember later to go back. And then your Bible study, you're getting from your Bible reading. And you're saying, okay, now I'm going to go back and I'm going to study this. Now I'm going to dedicate 30 minutes to studying these three things that I picked up in my Bible reading. Do you see what I'm saying? And it doesn't have to be that that's where you got those things, but I'm going to dedicate this amount of time to studying the Bible. Not just reading it, but to studying it. We look at a topic like salvation. I'm going to study what the Bible says about salvation. I'm going to study what the Bible says about modesty. I'm going to study what the Bible says about alcohol. We're going to look at this, and I'm going to dig in and see what does the Bible say, but we have to give it the proper amount of time. If we don't put any time into it, then really, do we care? We have to ask ourselves that and just be honest with ourselves. If we put time into what we care about. Every one of us does that. If we care about something, we put time into it. Just whatever it is, whatever your hobby is, whatever thing you like, if you care about it, you put time into it. You learn about it. You familiarize yourself with it. So if we love the Word of God, if we love Jesus, then let's put time into it. Into Him, not it. You understand what I'm saying, though. Let's put time into it, studying His Word. And I'd say at least 30 minutes every day. I promise you, if you will do that, it will revolutionize your Christianity. If you will read the Bible for, just say, we could even say 15 minutes a day, pray, and I'm talking, if you get down to business and start praying with God, you are going to spend at least 30 minutes in prayer. You're going to. We sing the song, it's in our hymn book, you know, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but how many of you have prayed for an hour or longer? And how often have you prayed for an hour or longer? If you start getting down to business, it's easy to do. It really is, but it's work. I'm not saying it's not work. Okay, these are the things, though. If we will do these things, if we'll spend 15 minutes in Bible reading, if we'll spend 20, 30 minutes in prayer, and sincere prayer, not just me just going through something and just saying something just to say it. You know, we jump on the Catholics because they want to say the rosary 1,000 times and everything like that. Baptists and Christians are just the same when we just go through, oh, let me just go through my list and I'm done, I got that out of the way. We can be just as vain and repetitious and just in another form. So we need to make sure our prayers are sincere as we do that. And then if you'll dedicate 30 minutes to actual studying the Bible, if you'll do it every day, I promise you it will revolutionize your Christianity. It absolutely will. You know what's exciting is when you study the Bible and God shows you something that a preacher didn't or somebody else didn't. That'll get you excited. That still gets me excited. I still get excited about that when God shows me something. I'm in there, I'm like, I've never seen that before. Wow, I'm telling you, I get excited. I'm like, thank you, Lord. I'm right there just studying my Bible, praying. God, thank you, that was amazing. Wow, I just saw that. That's exciting. And when God starts showing you something like that, you'll get excited. You'll be like, a preacher didn't tell me that. I didn't hear that in a sermon or nothing like that. I didn't read it in a book. God showed me that. And God will teach you some things. And you'll get excited about it. And I promise you, those are the things that you don't forget. Amen. Amen. That's good stuff right there. You don't forget it. But we have to be willing to put the time in. The study of the Bible should be a priority above the study of other books. And I'm telling you, I can fall prey to this one right here because I like reading. I do. I enjoy reading. I enjoy learning from other books and other men of God. I do. And I've learned a lot from other men of God. I'm not saying that that's wrong. But we have to make certain that we put this first. This has to take priority. Effective Bible study also requires prayer. We're there, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, so that needs to be a priority. But also now let's see here, let's go to Psalm 119, verse 18. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Somebody help me out here. What is the theme of Psalm chapter 119? The Word of God. The Word of God. Amen. The Word of God. The theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God. You read through that psalm, and in some way, shape, or form, it'll say thy word, thy statutes, thy precepts, thy law, and so many different ways. It's going to bring up the word of God in some way, shape, or form in almost every verse. I think there might be like just a handful of verses, maybe five or six verses that do not mention the word of God in some way, shape, or form. That is the theme of Psalm 119, is the word of God. Let me ask you this. What is the largest chapter in the Bible? Isaiah? Psalm 119. And what is the focus of Psalm 119? The Word of God. And it's the largest chapter in the Bible. See, there's certain Bible or certain chapters in the Bible that they have a theme. They deal with a theme. So what is the who knows the theme of 1 Corinthians 15? What is it? The gospel. The gospel, kind of. No. No, that's 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, the theme is love. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection. The gospel, I mean, it's you're right there with it because it's the death, burial, and resurrection. But it also goes to talk about our resurrection. The theme of it's the resurrection. See, another chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, the theme is love. It lays out that self-giving, self-sacrificing love. The Bible calls it charity, which is much more descriptive. Okay, you got what chapter in the Bible lays out faith? Hebrews 11. That's right. Hebrews 11. Called the Hall of Faith. It goes through and lists it. By faith, by faith, by faith. So-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did this. By faith, so-and-so did this. Defines faith for us. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You know, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, you get these things by studying the Bible. That's where you get those. And I don't want anyone to feel bad. You say, man, pastor knows that stuff. I'm not trying to put it off like I know everything because I don't. But I've been at this for, I mean, like 13 years now, just studying the Bible. Plus, it's almost, I have to know this stuff if I'm to be a pastor. I wouldn't be qualified if I didn't. And it doesn't mean I know everything. There's a lot I don't know. I promise you, there's a bunch of stuff I don't know. But we just have to study the Bible. We have to give it the amount of time. But also, we went to Psalm 119, verse 18, prayer. Prayer. Look at verse 18. This is the psalmist saying this, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Ask God. You ever gotten to something, you read something, you say, I don't even understand at all what they're talking about right there. I have no idea what that's talking about. The psalmist said, Lord, open thou mine eyes, show me, teach me, I don't get it. So I can behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of your word. God, show me. Pray. Ask it. Don't be afraid to tell. He knows you don't understand it. If you don't understand it, ask him, God, give me some wisdom. Show me this. Open my eyes. Open my heart. Teach me, Lord. But prayer is so vital to us being in the Word of God and growing as we study the Word of God. Now let's go. You're in Psalm 119. Go to Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3. We're talking about the importance of prayer and effective Bible study. And it says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. You've got to cry after it. Ask for it. Cry. Lift up your voice for understanding. Verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. God says, I'll answer you. Pray. Pray. Prayer is so important. Bible study is not just an intellectual exercise. It's a relationship with God. That's what you're doing. You're walking with God. It's like as you're studying the Bible, you're going through and you're asking God questions. It's like you're sitting there with Him and you're saying, God, how about this? And He's saying, oh, well, here, son, here, daughter, turn over to here. I want to show you something. And He's teaching you. He's saying, look, here's what I believe about that. Here's what the truth is concerning that. That's what it is. It's a walk with God. We have to realize that's what it is. And prayer is important. We're asking Him, Lord, show me what this is here. I don't get it. R.A. Torrey said that prayer will do more than a college education to make the Bible an open and glorious book. Prayer will do more than a college education to make the Bible an open and glorious book. Now, I'll just tell you right now, the society that we live in here in America absolutely worships scholarship. We worship scholarship. Oh, Dr. So-and-so said this, and I'm talking about preachers now. Oh, well, this doctor of theology, he said this. Oh, and Dr. So-and-so over here believes this. Who cares? Who cares? What does the Bible say? Any of you, we all have the priesthood of the believer. That's one of Baptist distinctives. The Holy Spirit lives in each of us. God will reveal it to you just like He will anybody else. Don't ever put yourself down thinking, well, so-and-so said this, I can't disagree with them. Well, if they're not lined up with the Bible, you sure can. You sure can. But we have a thing where we want to lift up scholarship, and we lift it up so high that we get it so high, and now scholarship starts questioning the Bible and doubting, oh, and well, this really should be translated like this, and this one should be translated this way. And what are they doing? They're doing just what Satan did. Yea, hath God said? Did God really say that? God didn't mean that, Eve. Starts questioning the Word of God, changing it, perverting it. Oh, but scholarship, well, he said that this is a bad translation and it should have been translated this way. You just, okay, here, serpent, what do you got for me? Give it to me. Hey, let's just believe the book. We don't have to bow down to scholarship. God will teach you some things if you just seek Him and ask Him. He will. Just make sure you're in line with the Bible. As we go through this, learning how to be effective Bible students, we're going to learn how to properly interpret the Bible and the principles we can apply to it. But God will teach you some things too. Don't diminish what God's shown you. Even if it doesn't maybe line up with what you've grown up with maybe your whole life. I mean, you want to make sure you've got sound doctrine, sound interpretation, and all those things. But when you know you're following that path, and when you know you're lining up Scripture with Scripture, that's another principle we'll learn, then you can stand surely and say, you know, I feel strongly this is what the Bible says. There's some things in there we don't know 100%, and there's going to be some disagreements on, and it doesn't make you a heretic. I mean, I look at a lot of prophecy as like that. They've gotten it wrong in the past. I think we still probably got some of it wrong today. We're doing the best we can, people are, and the different interpretations that they make of it. And there's some things that are way out there that I would say that's heresy, but, I mean, for the most part, I think, you know, things like that, there are those things out there that you can, maybe we can disagree on, and it's okay. But there's some things you can't be. The Bible talks about there's damnable heresies. Whoa, wait a minute, we're getting serious now. Your false teaching is going to damn people to hell is what that's saying. And there's some false teachings that maybe we're looking at it a different way, and it doesn't mean you're some arch heretic that, you know, is completely wrong. It doesn't mean that. But there are some that are like that. I mean, we're studying on Sunday nights, Galatians, and they were coming in with a false gospel that's going to damn people to hell. That's dangerous. We watch out for that. How do we know it's false? By sound Bible interpretation. We take all of what the Bible says, not just this one verse. Well, this one verse says this, so there you go. I'm standing on that one verse, but there's 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 others that disagree with that one verse the way you're interpreting it. Say, well, what's the difference? Are there contradictions in the Bible? No, there's no contradictions in the Bible. When they all fit together, that's how you know you have sound truth. Like the cogs of a whatever, a watch or something like that, a piece of machinery. I always think like a mechanic, so I think of a rear end, a rear axle, or a transmission or something like that. They've got these different gears that fit together, and if they fit together, they fit together perfectly. That's how your engine can transfer the power from the engine to the wheels. It's using gears to do that, and they fit together perfectly. So you say, how do we know when we have sound Bible truth? Well, when I can take all of what the Bible says and I put it together, and it fits, and it doesn't go, oh, okay, I'm not there yet, it's wrong. Let me get it and put it together. When they fit together, you got sound Bible truth. So we need to pray. We need to ask God for wisdom. Prayer is important. Again, prayer can do more than a college degree, college education. Charles Bridges warned, without this spirit of prayer, there may be attention and earnestness, yet not one spiritual impression upon the conscience, not one ray of divine light in the soul. Earthly wisdom is gained by study, heavenly wisdom by prayer. Heavenly wisdom by prayer. That's our walk with God. That's important. Prayer, sorry, I lost my spot there. Study may form a biblical scholar. Prayer puts the heart under a heavenly tutorage, and therefore forms the wise and spiritual Christian. God keeps the key of the treasure house in His own hand. We look for no other inspiration than divine grace to make His word clear and impressive. That's what we need to look for. We need to seek God. He's the one that'll unlock the key, or give us the key that unlocks what we don't understand. As the Bible student grows in their understanding of Scripture, and as we have success in applying the rules of interpretation, We need to understand this as well, that we're in danger of becoming self-confident and lackadaisical. Once you start to get a certain amount of knowledge, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. I think it's 1 Corinthians 13, I could be wrong on that. But it says, maybe chapter 3, but it says that knowledge puffeth up. You start to get a certain amount of knowledge, you feel like, well, I kind of know something about this. And you'll try and maybe shut somebody down, it puffs you up, it gives you a big head. And we all have to be careful of that. We'll be self-confident and lackadaisical, we'll kind of start slacking on our Bible study. Well, I know something now. I know more than most people, so I can slack off a little bit. I promise you, the Christian life is like a going up the down escalator. Okay? As kids, probably most of us, I know I went up the down escalator. Anybody else ever done that? Up the down escalator? Yeah, we got some, we're kind of embarrassed. I did. Okay? Yeah, you know, you've got to race up that thing. Plus, you're checking for security, right? Because they'll yell at you. At least I had to, because I did it at the mall. But you had to look. Is there any security around? No, go! And I mean, you got to start running to make it up that thing, because it's fighting you all the way. That's the Christian life. Okay, if you stop, you're going down. It's not like, I got to this certain level. Yes, I made it. And now I can just stay right here and I'm comfortable with it. I'm serving God a little bit. I'm in the Bible a little bit. I got a Sunday school class or whatever. I'm teaching the Bible some. I'm going soul winning a little bit. And I made it. This is perfect. I'm comfortable right here. I'm just going to hold it right here. And then you start going down. That's how it works. That's how it works. I've done it enough times in my life to know that's how it works. You just start going down. See, the Christian life, we're always going forward. We always have to keep going. Don't ever let your head puff up to the point where you think, I've made it, because you haven't. We never come to the place in our Bible study where we don't need to cry out to the author for help and understanding. Effective Bible study requires confession and obedience. If we would, turn to John 7:17. John chapter 7 and verse 17. All right, how are we doing temperature-wise in here? I'm getting warm, but how are we out there? It's hot. Anybody else hot? If we get more than, or comfortable. We're good? Comfortable? Okay, most everyone's comfortable. All right, you got outvoted. Sorry. No, I understand. I'm always hot, too. I always get hot. That's why I kicked that fan on, but I don't want to freeze everyone out over here. All right, John 7:17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So effective Bible study requires confession and obedience. It says right there, if any man will do his will, then what? He'll know the doctrine. So if we want to know of God's doctrine, of God's teaching, that's what the word doctrine means. What do we need to do? Anybody? Study or? What does it say? Do his will. We need to do his will. If we do his will, then we will know of the doctrine. That's how God works on that principle all throughout Scripture. God's basically, obey first and then I'll show you. That's what he's saying right there. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Say, God, I want you to show me. He says, well, then do what I've already shown you and then I'll show you that. That's why we got to keep going forward. Because if we stop right here, I'm comfortable where I'm at. And we want to study the Bible and say, God, show me more. He's like, well, you're not doing what I'm showing you. You're like, but I'm doing some things. I'm doing this and this and this. He says, yeah, that's good, but I'm showing you more. I'm showing you my will. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. So if you want to learn more and you want God to teach you more, then do what he's showing you. Does that make sense? That's the principle, again, of faith, though. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You say, but what he's asking me to do has nothing to do with what I want him to show me. Doesn't matter. He says, do it. Do it and I'll show you. And that's the principle throughout the Bible. It's not just right here. We can see it throughout the Bible. The Bible student has to apply the Bible to his daily life. When we stop obeying, we stop growing and stop having good spiritual discernment. The parable of the sower teaches that worldly lusts and cares can choke the word. They can, as we let the world influence us. It'll choke the word. The Bible says that we become unprofitable. Well, we were profitable, but now we've become unprofitable. Why? Because these outside influences. It doesn't have to always be wicked things. It can be just maybe an issue at work. It's taking all my attention. It's a worldly need. We have to work, but it's a worldly need. And it can take all my attention and choke the word so it becomes unprofitable. The effective Bible study and the effective Bible student must be persistent. Turn to John 8:31. We have to be persistent. This is important. John 8:31, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed." That's persistence. I'm continuing in His word. It's not just, I'm going to push hard for a month and then I'm going to back off for six. No. Be persistent. Continue in His word. That's what makes a disciple, someone that continues in God's word. "If ye continue in My word, then shall ye be My disciples indeed." And get this, here we see it again, that principle. Obey, and I'll show you. Verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, we have to be persistent, but again, it goes back to that. Just obey, and God will show you more. So if we continue in His word, then what's He going to do? We'll know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. He'll show us the truth when we, what? Continue in His word. Doing it, obeying it. Feelings come and go. But we have to continue in the things of Christ whether we feel like it or not. I promise you, if you've not experienced this yet, you will. If you serve God for any amount of time, there's going to be what I'd call mountaintop experiences and valleys in your Christian walk. And sometimes it's great. I mean, you're reading the Bible and you're like, wow, God's revealing so many things to me, showing me so many things. This is awesome. I love this. And then other times you're just like dragging your feet to even get going. And I mean, it's just hard to go and you feel like nothing and it's dry and just keep going, keep going. You got to be persistent. So why are there dry times in the Christian life? Well, first off, we live in the body of this death, Romans 7:24. We still got our flesh. Our flesh is going to fight us. Our flesh is going to fight it. Let me just ask, has anybody here fallen asleep praying? Okay, me, I've lots of times. That's again why I tell you I don't really like. I'll sometimes I know it's going to be a shorter amount of time, I'll kneel down and pray. But typically, if I'm praying, like when I pray and walk with God personally, when I'm alone, I walk back and forth. I'll walk in circles in a room. I'll come in here and I'll walk around the pews. I mean, I'll go outside and I'll walk because I don't want to fall asleep because we're in the body of this death. Okay, anybody ever fallen asleep reading their Bible? You know, you do one of these things. Then, where was I? You know, I mean, it's kind of one of those, you're fading in and out. I mean, I've done that. Okay, because we live in the body of this death. So understand our flesh isn't always going to help us and cooperate with us. Also, God's going to prune us. If we're in John 8, go to John 15. God will prune us. And think about what pruning is. It's cutting. Pieces off. Okay, that's not pleasant. We don't like that. I don't, okay? It's just not something that we necessarily like, but it's something that's needed and essential for spiritual growth. So John 15:1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." So God's going to purge us, and we have this flesh. And sometimes there's things in our life that are hindering our walk with God, and God wants to come along and say, clip, 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 snip, snip, snip. You don't need that. And that's not always pleasant. Why? We're in the body of this death, but it's needed. That's going to hinder us, and that's many times why there's dry times in our Christian life. So we need to be pruned. Effective Bible study also requires concentration. Let's go back to Psalm 119 and verse 97. Now again, what we're doing here is I talked about a difference between Bible reading and Bible study. This is Bible study. What we're doing is here is we're looking at how we can be an effective Bible student, a good student of the Word of God. That's why we're flipping all over the place. We're jumping because we're looking at a topic, and we're looking at what the Bible says about it. So being an effective Bible student requires concentration. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love Thy law. Get this. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For Thy testimonies are my meditation. You're meditating on something. That means you're thinking about it over and over. You're mulling on it. You're chewing on it. You're getting as much out of it as you can. Meditation. And it says, that's what gives me more understanding than my teachers. Because I've focused on it. and I've dwelt on it. I've thought about it. I've studied it out. We have to concentrate. We got to give time to it. You know, most people are, we got a microwave society. We want everything just as fast as can be, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. I mean, I am so impatient. I remember as a kid it was bad, and I've just, because I've gotten older, it's gotten somewhat better, but I'm still an impatient person. I am. I'm like, Lord, give me patience, but like yesterday. You know, I mean, that's kind of how it is, you know, just impatient. But we're in a microwave society that wants everything immediately. And I'm sorry, just this biblical understanding and a walk with God does not happen overnight. Now, you can see the immediate benefits as you start walking with God. I mean, like within three days to a week, you'll begin to notice just the difference in your demeanor, in your countenance, in how you handle things. You'll notice it immediately. You will. Let me back up. You might not notice it immediately. What'll happen is when you stop doing it, you'll notice immediately. Let me put it that way. You may notice it immediately. There's times you can notice it immediately. I'm not saying that. But I notice more often is when I'm not walking with God like I should. That's when I notice. I'm like, wow, it was really good when I was walking with God. What happened here? And I start, oh, I've gotten away from Him a bit. So, but the results will be there immediately. You might not catch it right away, but they will be there immediately. Seriously, within 3 days to a week, if you're getting your heart right with God, it'll be there. But as far as all the knowledge that we're trying to get and that we want, it's not going to happen overnight. It's just not. I mean, I forget who it was that told me this, but they said Christianity is measured in decades, not years. Think about that. We look at great men and women of God, and who are they? They're people that have served God for decades. Decades. Not just, 5 years, 6 years. Christianity is measured in decades. And we want the Bible knowledge that someone who spent 30 years of their life studying the Bible, we want that Bible knowledge, but we want it now when we won't even read our Bible for 15 minutes a day. How are we going to get that when they've spent hours upon hours upon hours, thousands of hours reading this book, studying this book? Okay, here's a challenge I'm going to put out to you. You don't raise your hand. You don't have to. You can if you want to, but you don't have to. I don't want to embarrass anyone. But just think about this yourself. How many of you have read through your Bible at least once? Think to answer that question in your head to yourself. Have you read through your Bible at least once? Okay. Now, if you've been saved for a month, that's understandable. If you've been saved for 5 years, it's not. It's not. What's your excuse? It's not. I love God. Then why don't you spend time in His Word? It's not understandable. So I'm challenging you. We can't take the past back. I can't change the foolish things I've done in the past, or maybe the foolish things I've not done in the past. But I can change what I do in the future. So maybe you haven't read through the Bible yet. Okay, you can't change that. God, forgive me for not dedicating that time to you. Just pray to Him. God, forgive me. But change it, though. Now you can. Push yourself to read through the Bible in a year. Get through it. So you can, there's a good reason for that. So you can have a full grasp and understanding of what the Bible says. I promise you, you're going to read through some of it and you're not going to get it. Just read through it anyway. Just keep reading. Okay, it's going to happen. It still happens to me. I don't get everything I read. That's when Bible study comes in. I have to sit down and I'm going to have to study this chapter out and see what this says, and that I'm going to cross-reference it over here, and I'm going to be looking all over the place, and I'm trying to put these things together. I mean, that's where the Bible study comes in. But we need to dedicate time to God where we're going to read through His Word. We can't expect all this Bible knowledge that someone spent decades amassing and putting together if we don't ever give any time to God and His Word. Does that make sense? See, if we want that knowledge, we got to consistently put in the time. Consistently spend time in His Word, learning from Him, seeking Him, asking Him, praying. I mean, again, going back to that prayer, asking God, God, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, I don't get what I just read. Show me. Ask Him. I mean, there's things like that I prayed for that He didn't give me the answer right away. I'm telling you, I remember the first time I read through certain passages of the Bible, a specific passage. I did not understand what it meant. I went to my pastor. I talked to him about it. He explained it to me as best he could. I still didn't get it. It wasn't until probably about 5 or 6 years later that I understood it. It doesn't happen overnight. We took the Bible knowledge survey. It says test. I'm telling you, you shouldn't have said that. But that Bible knowledge survey, maybe some of you took it and you're thinking, wow, I did not so good on that thing. Okay, that's okay. It's okay not to have done good on it. But it can just show us where maybe we're lacking. Where we need to, that we, maybe the fact that we do need to study the Bible more, that we do need to dedicate more time to it. That's okay if we didn't know every answer on there. Well, what it can do is challenge us to see what we do know. And that's what a test does. It just shows us what we do know. That's it. And use it as a tool for yourself to challenge and push you to study the Bible more. But we can't expect to have all this knowledge if we don't ever dedicate time to it. We got to meditate in the Word of God. Memorization of Scripture is also going to be important. That's part of meditation, if we could just memorize it. That's why we have a memory verse all the time. You don't have to memorize that one. Whatever God's leading you to memorize, I challenge you to memorize that. But it's so important that we memorize the Word of God.